Oh, such a good question.
Well, when you come with these questions, that's another great branding question.
That's a big question.
That's a very interesting question because it really makes you think about what you just did.
Welcome to the Your Living Brand.Live show. This show is all about how you communicate your value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Through our weekly conversations with our guests, we will explore different ways to enable you to demonstrate your uniqueness while we ask them, what's your story? And now, welcome our host, Ben Baker.
Welcome back to another episode of the Your Living Brand.Live show. This is Ben Baker, and I've got Julian Roberts from across the pond. You know, I'm bringing in the UK today. Maybe we'll talk Brexit, maybe we won't. By the time this is over, who knows where we'll be, but I want to bring Julian over because he is a leadership guy like I am. You know, we met through social media. We probably met through Kurt Anderson, who is another guest of mine that was on the show in 2019. And Julian, welcome to the show. Welcome to the fray. Love the fact that you were able to make it from an 8-hour time difference.
Oh, what a great welcome, Ben. I appreciate that. That's really good. I'm used to the 8-hour difference. My daughter being in Canada as well. So we have a great link there. She's not too far away. Well, I'll say not too far away. She's about 4 hours away from you, isn't she? So, but yeah, good to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's 4 hours if the road is clear. If there's snow on the Coquihalla, it could be a 12 or 15 hour trip. You never know. So it's one of those things from the coast to the interior. You never know what the snow flow is going to be like and the road is going to be closed. So
absolutely.
I hope that she stays warm this winter. I hope that she's doing it. You know, I think she's in nursing, right?
She's in nursing. Yeah.
She's in nursing. Desperately need new nurses. So kudos to her for being part of this.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about, you know, what you do. You do leadership consulting for small, medium enterprises, and it's really necessary. I mean, it really is, as businesses grow, because there is a 75 or 80% failure rate of businesses in the first 5 years. I mean, the number is astounding. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that people are really good at what they do, but they're horrific at the business of business. They may be good accountants, they may be good lawyers, they may be good programmers or whatever, have an idea, but they're not really good at the business of business or the business of managing people because that's not what they love. So Tell me a little bit about what was the impetus for you to get into the leadership game? Where did you come from? Where are you now? And where is the company going?
Okay, I've been in leadership capacity for the last 20, 25 years.
Yep.
I've worked for big corporations, people like Heinz, to small family businesses. I've managed teams of 25 down to 5. I've developed strategies for companies and been successful, and I've loved it. And I've always loved leadership. I've always loved, bizarrely, getting more excited when an individual unlocked their potential or an individual changed a behavior that had a greater impact, even more so than winning a contract. I started to realize this back in 2016 and actually started to think, actually, the corporate world's not for me. And in fact, wanting to go on my own, do my own thing. And so I did a pivot then to go into the world of consultancy. So working and with small businesses or entrepreneurial businesses, and helping them in the whole aspect of leadership. Just like you said, there's a lot of people out there who are really good at starting a business, really good at the passion and the ideas, and they're very innovative and they're very on trend or thinking further ahead of trends, but they're actually really bad at managing a business. And
they're not willing to admit it either, a lot of them.
No, no. And I've met a number of entrepreneurs in my time who I love and dearly think they're amazing. They've got great ideas. They've got great passion. But they see something shiny every day and they're off chasing the shiny toys and just ends up causing a business havoc. And they don't really go very far. And they're going just too spread themselves thin. So I love getting alongside entrepreneurs and CEOs and business owners and taking that passion, taking that sort of innovation and vision they've got, because I don't want to lose that, because that's really important. And I'll just bring an element of structure, but still got a fluidity to it, because obviously it's important to be fluid, and certainly in a small business, and give them some focus and some strategies. And my style is very much, and I'll come more onto the coaching later on, it's a very coaching style. So I'm not telling them what to do. I'm sort of bringing it out to them and just bringing some form to them. And I remember one entrepreneur who was, I won't name who they are or the business, but a very exciting business, very forward thinking. And they had loads going on, but they just weren't making any cash going forward. And so I went in there and I spent about a month developing a strategy. The entrepreneur owner sort of bought into and was agreed on, and everybody was involved in it all. And what it was made it really helpful is this strategy then gave a focus for the business, a focus for the people, and a focus for the owner. So when anything else came in that wasn't aligned to this strategy of where they were going and how they're going to do it, that it gave confidence not only to the staff, but also to the owner to say, actually, we're not going to do this. And it almost gave a filter to say, let's just put it on the back burner for now and then move forward. So it really helped them, gave some focus, gave some clarity, and enabled them to sort of start to move forward and start to win bigger than they were winning, not dismissing their ideas, just put on the back burner. So I love, I guess, working with people, and I love unlocking their potential or their business potential or whatever it may be. And I say that it just excites me, because it's just wonderful to see somebody take their business that I know nothing about, I don't need to know all the details, and help them deliver it in a way and take it to a next level. And that's whether that's taking something to a new market or just taking them onto another step change, and then helping them how they manage their people. Because you've got to bring people along with you all the way along, you know, in terms of taking a business forward. The people are really important. And we say that, but they really are important. And it's important to take those people with you. And again, entrepreneurs, love them. I could say I'm an entrepreneur now, really, because of my own business, but they're not always the greatest at taking the people with them. And sometimes they need somebody just as a mentor to say, there might be another way about going about this. How about this? What about this? You thought about this? Just somebody who's a bit more, no agenda, got their back, very supportive. And that's what I do. And I've been doing that for 2.5 years now. But I also I focus more on also coaching in terms of the personal development side as well. Because again, I love taking, whether it's a leader, owner, who may have a limiting belief perhaps of what they can achieve or what they can deliver, and then smashing that and then seeing them fly and doing some great exploits, which they never would have thought they could do.
I love that. My philosophy is leave no person behind. Comes out of the military, but it's absolutely true, is that when you're building an organization, especially as it starts to put gas on the fire, and you go from being 5 people to 10 people to 30 people to 50 people to 100 people to 1,000 people to 10,000 people, that whole philosophy, that whole culture blows apart if it's not paid attention to. You don't have that, what you call that standard. It's that stick in the ground that you sit there and say, this is what we believe in as a company. This is what's important. This is what we do. And I love the fact that you sit there and say, okay, this is what we do as a company. All decisions need to rally around that central point. You know, all decisions moving forward, all of how we hire, you know, how we promote, how we, new projects we bring on board, new customers we bring on board, really need to rally around that standard. So everybody in the company understands, this is what we do, this is why we do it. And that's a challenge. So how do you work with leaders who, as you said, have a squirrel mentality? You know, it's just all of a sudden it's that dog, then all of a sudden squirrel, and then they're off on another tangent, that shiny thing, to get them to sit there and say, look, we need to focus. We're not trying to put handcuffs on you, but we need to put guardrails out there on the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And how do you get them to buy in on that?
Yeah, I guess it goes back to, and this is where the engagement at the start is almost asking them, what would they like to have happen? What do they want? And if they want to go from, I don't know, 1 million to 5 million over the next 3 to 5 years, then I will then point out a roadmap of how that can be as a way. And that means they need to be not only committed to the process we're going to take them through, but committed to me and to how we're going to work. Because I will challenge them and cause them to push them. I don't want to kill their ideas or kill their enthusiasm or their passion, none of that, or their expertise.
No.
I just want to take what they've got. And from an observer, usually from afar, is we'll see a lot more in a fresher eyes. So once I've got that commitment and they're willing to work with me and then work as an organization to do that, then we'll map it out. And it goes back to my approach really and how I lead anyway, is to empower people. And it's important to, when you empower people, there's an element of risk. And I talk to this with entrepreneurs where they, because they've built it and they've done everything from sweeping the floor to now, you know, doing the accounts or whatever it may be, they do everything and they will continue to do everything, they seem to think, because that's the way they've always done it. And I talk about, you've got to empower your organization, because you may bring people on who actually got some good ideas, and actually there's a risk in empowering somebody. There is a risk because they may do it a slightly different way.
Right.
They may fail, but do you know what? They may even do something in a more productive or an efficient way. And that is an even better opportunity that may happen. So I talk about empowerment with them. I talk about there will be a risk, but if without risk, you're not going to get, and they're all into risk taking anyway, you're just turning it around on them about letting go and then using a strategy, as you said, some sort of guardrails, however you want to do it, in a bowling alley. That's a good example, good sort of metaphor. It is that. It's still got fluidity to it. It just keeps everybody focused. We're all going this direction. This is how we're going to go about it. And do you know what? Let's keep on that track. Otherwise, if we keep going for the shiny stuff, we're never going to get anywhere. Keep turning back on ourselves. It'll come down to the accountability, come down to them making a choice to go, they're going to do this. Otherwise, they won't grow. And I'll tell them that. I said, well, if you don't let go, if you don't let us do this, it won't happen. And we have to have those conversations.
And I think that that's a really important conversation to have, because you and I are entrepreneurs. We are 1-2 person organizations. We do what we do. We work with different organizations, but we don't really have staff. And what we do is we help people. We facilitate projects as those projects happen. But when you move people from being an entrepreneur with an idea to a small business, to a medium business, to a large size business, to enterprise, there's a mentality shift that has to happen with leadership. Mm. And how do you get people to understand the control freak mentality that most entrepreneurs have? I mean, I have it, and that's probably one of the reasons why I'm still an entrepreneur. I have 30 staff. I call it giving it up for Lent. I gave up 12, 13 years ago. I gave up my 30 staff. I gave up my partnership, and I went off and went into consultancy, and I'm much happier. But you have these people that fail when they try to move from entrepreneurship to small businesship to medium business because they can't let go. So how do you coach or mentor them through that to be able to sit there and say, it's okay that people fail. It's okay that people don't have the exact same philosophy you do, but you know what? This is how we're going to grow as a company.
Yeah. Do you know what? It is a challenge because I've dealt with owners who will say, that staff, that person doesn't have the same passion as me for this business. And I say, they never will because they don't own it.
Gary Vaynerchuk said that. It was one of his famous comments the other day. Yeah.
And sometimes the reality is people won't be fully into it as you are because it's not their business unless you give them shares and options and various ways. And there is ways of trying to incentivize people. But aside from that, it is hiring the right people. It's creating a mindset with the owner that you're not going to grow unless you let go and empower, period. You've got to do that. And how you do that, you do it in a way that's in a managed, structured way where you hire the right people. And I get involved with that process as well. I'll help, whether that's interviewing or assessing CVs. If you hire good people, when you've got those people, rather than just saying, I want you to do it this way because we've always done it this way, you hire them, pay for them for what their expertise is, and then you empower them, but then you also support them and give them resources they need, whether that's from to spending time with them, or that could be training, or that could be equipment, whatever it may be, whatever resources means. And it's a step process. Like, it's like letting go. And I say to an entrepreneur, you don't just do it in one hit, because that's when you do make mistakes with people. You don't just go, oh, here we go. You take somebody with you. It's a very old, simple, they come with you, they see how it's done, the next time they go and they do it, you watch them, you and you observe, you have feedback, you have very good one-to-one sessions, and it's all done in a proper way. And then you slowly build that trust. It's a trust thing.
Absolutely.
That's the issue with anybody in entrepreneurial business owners letting go is trust. And there's the whole sort of trust equation, isn't it? It's credibility. And my mind's gone completely blank there. What it is. it's your credibility and your ability to sort of deliver on something.
Yeah.
And it's over your ego. And so less of your ego, the greater the trust. And you just got to take time to build that trust. It doesn't happen overnight. So entrepreneur, build the trust with your team, get a good team involved, and do a step process and structure way of building that. And then just create that transparency and dialogue and openness. And that's how you create it, but not in a way that is you're constantly there all the time and not letting people get on. And it is hard. I know it is hard when people build really great big empires and they've done a really good, and a lot of the business is built upon them as a personality. It can be a challenge. I know it is, but there is a way of doing it, and it's a stage process. And it's like anything, you just got to put a strategy in place. How are we going to do this? So rather than just say, just do it, this is how we're going to go do it. And you help them that process and you just move them through that process. I see myself as like a guiding hand within that aspect with the business.
Well, I think that's important is to move people from a managerial mentality to a leadership mentality. Because you're right. A leader leads people. They show people how and empower people. A good leader empowers people and gives them the tools and the confidence and the ability to make mistakes that are going to be eventually in the best interest of the company. It's giving people, says, you know what? You're not going to do it right the first time, and that's okay. If you're not doing it right the fifth time after we've gone over it four times, then we have a serious learning problem.
Yeah, of course.
But if people are constantly striving and they're constantly, they understand the objectives of the company, if they understand the direction of the company, if they understand the values of the company, and they make mistakes with those things in mind, and their philosophy is the best interest of the company, leaders should never be looking at those things as a way to admonish. They sit there and say, okay, what went wrong? You know, and how can we do this better next time? And that's leadership versus managerial. Managerial berates, and they write people up, and they micromanage people, where a good leader makes space for people to make mistakes and grow and learn and engage and become the next leader of set of leaders. My question for you in that is, when you're building a leadership mentality with these CEOs, with these founders, whatever, are you working with them to sit there and say, okay, how are you creating the next level of leaders within your organization? Are you teaching them how to lead the next level of leaders and be able to instill a leadership mentality throughout the organization?
I think with people who've built a business, you've got to give them an incentive for leadership and an incentive for letting go and to succession sort of planning, so to speak. And the incentive is increased sort of headspace for new projects. And that's the mindset you've got to get, really. Because if you get an entrepreneur or CEO build a business and who loves building, grabbing new stuff, shiny stuff, if you give him the incentive that if you put this leadership in place, a structure, a succession plan, however you want to do it, it will give you headspace for the future to think, to go after new projects, to do other stuff, free time, whatever you want to call it. And it's that motive and incentive then enables them to go, actually, I want to do this. I want to start handing on. I want to start going to sort of build a succession plan and work it way through. And I think that's the important thing. Otherwise, if the incentive is just to hand it all over to do nothing, that might be the case, but that might be the incentive. I don't think it's very motivating. I think they like to see other things. And a lot of CEOs and that are, it's their headspace they have lack of. One lady I work with, she just wanted some more headspace. She said, I hate all this stuff I'm involved in. So we put some things in place that enabled her to, in a trustful way, hand on to other people that gave her some headspace to do the stuff she really wanted to do. You know, she wanted to be more in the marketing side because that was her gig. And so rather than operational, so she brought in right people and then they got on, did the stuff, and it gave her some headspace to do what she enjoyed doing and pushing the brand forward and doing the PR and everything else. That's what she did. She was really good at it as well. So it's creating that incentive that then says, well, if you got that's what you want to do, then let's put this in place. A lot of my role with CEOs and owners, as much as I can be challenging to them, is getting to a place where they want to do it. It goes back to your first question about how do you get, and it's that motive of they don't want to do it, let's not work then, because there's no. And I do that even with my clients who are doing personal development coaching with me, sort of leadership coaching. I say to them, you're going to do all the hard work. If you're not in this, there's no point. You've got to be accountable for this, because I'm not going to waste my time or your money doing this, because there's no point you going away and having no impact, because that's what we want to do here, isn't it?
Exactly. It's funny because giving people, leaders, the ability to have that space to be the future thinking. And I think that every company needs to have somebody within the organization whose job it is to be looking 5 years out, not 10 years out, 20 years out, 50 years out, because that's crystal ball gazing. The world is moving way too fast today. But to be able to sit there and say, okay, what are the challenges that could be facing us? What are the new opportunities? What are some different things that we can be doing as a company? What are the things that could affect us? Great. A mentor of mine used to go away on 3 2-week vacations every year. Now, it was a big enough company that he could do that. And he says his executive assistant was the only person who had his cell number. The rule was she was not allowed to call it unless he had to get on a plane and come home. His attitude is, I've put the right people in place and I trust them to do the right things. They understand the philosophy of the company, the direction of the company, the values of the company. As long as they're doing things within that mindset, I will support them. Even if they make a mistake, I will support them. But you cannot call me because I am doing deep thinking on my vacation unless something has gone so horrifically wrong that I need to get on a plane at the Galapagos and come home. You know, and that was a great philosophy. And I think a lot of it comes down to, and I notice that you're either DISC certified or you have somebody that does DISC training for you. It's one of the many programs out there. We do Strength Finders, you do DISC.
Yeah.
It's a lot of different things, but it's a matter of understanding what your strengths are.
Mm.
So it's a matter of understanding these are the things that I do well and hiring people to do the things that I don't do well, to augment my strengths instead of focusing on God. I really should be better at accounting, or I should really be better at programming, hiring the people that really passionately love to do that. So how do you bring the DISC training as a way to open up people's eyes and help them hire the right people around them to make sure that they can let go and they can have that time to be forward thinking?
Yeah, it's part of the, I guess, process of self-awareness. That's ultimately what it is. I mean, DISC is a psychometric test. So there's many of them out there. We know there's loads out there. To me, it just gives another dimension on you. And some are better than others, and some are 360, so you can get a bit more of an input from everybody else. And I guess the core of it all, really, is creating that self-awareness with the leader and knowing in a way they're not good at everything. And so I think they do sometimes. And I try to do it in a way that would get them to that place. I will get them to reflect. Give them questions that will cause them to reflect and to understand. And just in that space gives them some headspace to realize, actually, I'm not very good at that, or I've got a bit of a blind spot there. So I tend to use, and I use DISC as a way because it's quite a nice structured way and it highlights things. But I go a bit deeper than that, and through talking with them and through a coaching session will then highlight things. And often, I don't do this to the end, is then they'll always ask, well, what do you think, type of thing? And I say, well, I've got permission to say something, and then I'll give some observations. Because you can pick up quite a lot just by how they speak to their staff and how they interact. And I will foster that relationship with an owner that will enable me to give them some quite challenging, not in a negative way, not a criticism, a challenging stuff, but allow them to open up a bit more, to build upon that. And as you say, you know, if they're not very good at people, how can we enable them to be good enough with people that will take their business forward? Doesn't mean they're going to be the best dealing with people, but just allow them to have some interaction, knowing full well that they are more introverted or more geared towards seeing something in numbers or on a spreadsheet. Actually, some people like interaction with people, and some people like to talk about the weekend, and some people like to talk about the golf or whatever it may be. I'll use a psychometric, but I'll use my coaching session to open up that sort of self-awareness and then use that as a way of then helping them develop further if they want it. They've got to want it, and to open those sort of blind spots, really. So that's really important.
Right. You talk a lot about coaching.
Yeah.
And on your website, you have coaching and mentoring programs.
Yeah.
Fundamentally, what do you see the difference between? Because coaching and mentoring are very different, but most people don't understand that.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the difference between those two teaching styles? And why would you use one over another with a certain client?
Okay. In some ways, coaching and mentoring is almost like a continuum of from one end to the other end. Coaching for me is, it's very specific. It's very goal orientated. And it's sitting down with a client and we're going to work on three goals over the next 6 months, and they're positive future goals, development goals, or whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. And it's for a period of time. And the intervention is very much led by me questioning and very little me telling or advising. I use various techniques, but I might use like the GROW model and then get them to a place of options and then of ideas of how to step forward in this goal they want to achieve. And they may come up with three or four themselves. And I will say something like, I've got an idea. Do you want me to bring it up? So your permission, yay or nay. But you can get rid of it if you don't want to use it. That's fine. That's for me. That's coaching. It's quite specific. Mentoring, however, is very different. Mentoring is like a long-term piece. Mm-hmm. And mentoring, you've usually been in a similar role, industry type sort of level. So I can coach anybody anywhere in the context of industry. Mentoring really is you've sort of experienced something of what they're experiencing. Either you've been in that position or that industry or that type of organization. And mentoring is more long-term. Mentoring's more like somebody will come to you and bounce off ideas. You might sit down once every month or 2 months. And it's a little bit more advisory, as in sharing your experience and sharing what you think might be a good idea. So when I deal with, say, a CEO, and so I offer a combination of all that, really. So I do a 3-month sort of program with them where we go quite specific on what they want to deliver, because it's really important to have some specifics. You've got me for 3 months. What do we want to deliver? Because that's really important. And then we go through that.
What's the problem? How do we fix it? It's very strategic and tactical at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. So quite specific. I want to do X, Y, Z. All right, let's do that. And they're quite specific. And then in between that, there is other stuff crops up. And it may be more business oriented, because obviously I've got a business background as well. And I will then be a sounding board, another opinion, something objective. I've got no agenda, all that sort of stuff. And I might mentor and I say, I don't think that's a really good idea. And I'll be quite advisory, slightly different. I wouldn't say that in a coaching session. That's, to me, the differences.
Right.
But they do merge a little bit.
And I agree with you. I mean, I have always been a mentor. I do a lot of mentoring up at the university. There are people that I've mentored for 5, 6, 7 years and watched them grow. And it's amazing, the stuff. And I get phone calls out of the blue and say, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And I think it's great. And I do the same thing with my mentor. It's more of an ad hoc when I have issues, when I have problems, when there's things that I've just never seen before.
Yeah.
It's really nice to have somebody you can just call up, and it's, you know, it's not a formal, oh, will you be my mentor? It's people that I know that I can call up and say, listen, you've been down this rabbit hole. You know where the ladder is to get out of it. Could you show me where that ladder is, please?
Sure.
Or at least give me some ideas. And I think that's really important for everybody, because none of us know everything.
No.
And none of us have unlimited perspective. And having a viewpoint from somebody else's, and I think it's important to have both male and female mentors in everybody's life. I truly do, because I think that having that male-female perspective is huge.
Yeah.
But when you're coaching, I agree with you. It's very specific. It's very strategic and tactical at the same time, where you're sitting there going, this is the problem. How are we going to work through this? Yeah. And it's really putting people's feet to the fire and say, well, you said you were going to do this. Did you? You said you actually believe this. Well, prove it to me.
Yeah.
And those conversations get a lot more uncomfortable sometimes than mentoring conversations do. So I like where you're going with that. Now, you talk about your philosophies about integrity, servant leadership, and sustainability. Integrity is huge. Yeah. We've talked about this off and on, but talk to me about what you mean by servant leadership, because that is so important today, and I think it's really misunderstood.
Yeah, I think for me, it's always been a mindset of, I'm not in this leadership role for me, I'm in it for the people, and I'm here to, you know, all the teams I've led over years, I've always had a mindset of, how can I be a better leader for them in terms of developing them, in terms of taking some heat from the top that they may get or not get? How can I defend them? And it's that mindset, I'm in it for them. They're not here as my minions, and you must do this and must do that. It's a lot about it. It's that mindset shift of, how can I help you? How can I be a better leader for you? And it's, I still lead them. I still share a compelling vision and at moments, this is what we're doing, this is how we're going to do it, and these are the strategies, and you're all very clear, and that's important. But it's, how can I help you help me develop that strategy? What do you need? What resources? It's that mindset of serving. It's sort of a word not really used in the world of business, the word serving, apart from the cafetiere, probably. And it's silly things like, you know, going and getting somebody a coffee. It's just being a bit more, turn it around, rather than saying, I sit back in my chair and can you get me a coffee?
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not that at all.
My favorite visual for that is the movie, I mean, this is going back a long time, Lawrence of Arabia, where they're sitting down, and I'm trying to remember what the name of the character was, but he says, I am a river to my people. And it was like, everything that he did for his people.
Mm.
And, you know, and they loved him for it. Because whether it's taking care of people, whether it's making sure they're fed, whether making sure that their families are fed, making sure that, you know, that they're led, that the vision is there. We all need to give people the belief that, you know what, we're going to take care of you. As leaders, we're going to take care of you. We're going to take care of your family. We're going to make sure that this organization survives and thrives. So you're going to be able to have a place to come and be happy coming to work. Mm. And I think that that's truly servant leadership. I'm with you 100%. Now, before I let you go, what's the best way people get a hold of you? At julianrobertsconsulting.com? Is that the best way? Okay. I'll make sure that that's in the show notes so people can get at it.
Excellent. But
it's been a real pleasure. And this is the last question I ask everybody before I let them go.
Okay.
When you leave a meeting, when you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
Okay. That's an interesting question. I made a difference. I made a difference. Whatever I did, said, shown, did. Yeah. I made a difference. I made an impact. And that impact came through values of integrity, not of, it's all about Julian Roberts. It was came through a humility side of it. That's important to me. That those sort of values are really important. I made an impact. And I say, you talked about sustainability. That's really important to me, because whatever I do personally or business-wise, it's got to be for the long term. I'm not in it for the short term. I'm not in it to make quick bucks and run away and drive away with my loot, so to speak. It's about, I want to be able to go back and keep going that relationship. So that's really important. And it goes back to the whole people side of things as well. So yeah, it's the longevity of what I do.
Well, that's what it is. It's those long-term relationships. It's building trust. It's letting people know that you're there to help them.
Yeah.
And that you have their interests at heart first and foremost. So Julian, thank you very much for being part of the show. I loved having you as a guest. You created some real value today. So thank you for being on the show, and keep doing what you're doing.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it.
This has been the YourLivingBrand.live show. I want to thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the show at yourlivingbrand.live and share your favorite episodes with colleagues and friends. At Your Brand Marketing, we help companies engage, retain, and grow their most valuable assets, their employees. If you're tired of losing great staff and want to retain your best employees, build brand champions and leaders at any level. Contact us for a 30-minute consultation at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. Thank you again for listening and sharing. Tune in next week when we ask another guest, what's your story?